All right. Turn with me this morning again to the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Try to glean a little something here again. I guess begin reading in verse 8, and it said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord said, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." I think I mentioned last Sunday, sounds like the three or one operating here said, "Who will go for us?" So there's multiples here talking. And they all three are going forth to bring the gospel. So they're going to send you. That's the first thing that is necessary for the preaching of the gospel, that it be sent. And not by any one, but by the whole.
Right.
Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're told that's where we're to operate in that, under the guise of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, go and tell this people.
Right.
So he's got something he must do. What's he going to tell them? Hear ye indeed, but understand not. Mm-hmm. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's got an absolute impossible mission given to him to go forth. I think what he's been telling him up to this point is that you are going to have a hard road up. Not going to be easy. So you must look unto the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for instruction. Mm-hmm. That you might go forth and tell them what I'd have them to know, or what we'd have them to know. It's going to be a pretty hard task, because they won't hear and they won't see. It's their fault. The first thing we might know here about all this is that they are guilty of causing these things to happen. Their hard-heartedness was of their own doing. They had done it to themselves. He said to make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. I think we could add to it like this, and be healed to the extent that they would do something of their own, that they would try to bring about their own salvation. I think this is another thing that he's trying to make Isaiah completely understand, that salvation is not of you, and salvation is not of them, but it's by the mercy of God. We have the same situation in our day. Every generation has had the same situation. We preach, but they won't hear. We preach, but they won't see. You can talk to them all day long. They say, yeah, but. It's always but comes in with it. And we do get discouraged. And that's what I think he's trying to convince Isaiah of, that you're going to get discouraged, but don't give up. Go tell the people. He didn't cut that short. He told them, go tell the people what the whole counsel of God. What is the will of God.
You shall reap if you thank God, is what that brings to mind. Sorry.
and said, "Ah, Lord, how long you want me to do this?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." We're going to cut it all down. And the Lord have removed them far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And I read this and I thought of our day and what we call Christianity today. I think there is a great awakening going on.
Yeah.
Not the case. And the warning was with Isaiah, and the warning's with us. There's not going to be a great awakening. Lord's only going to save a remnant. In verse 13, it gives us a little hope. "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them." And I thought on this a little bit, and I didn't know what to do with it for a while, and I got thinking, well, it doesn't bear until it has shed its leaves and shed its seed, and it's left as a seed. And that's what's going to be saved, is that seed. First, the seed. And secondly, the seeds.
Yeah.
Whose substance is in them. It's in the seed. When they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And that's it. The holy seed. It is only substance.
Yeah.
The holiness of the Lord shed upon his people is the seed. In the book of Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, verse 21, he said, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not." So he's laying this upon a foolish people. Couldn't be any other way. How foolish can man be to think that there is no God? Why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? God's all about us. All creation is testimony to who he is. Everything around and about us is testimony that there is a God.
Amen.
That has created these things. They didn't just happen.
Amen.
How in the world could it just happen? "Which have eyes see not, and have ears and hear not, fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence?" We read last Sunday where the voice of the Lord come, it even shook the doorposts.
Yeah.
"Will ye not fear me?" We see it all about us every day, and we wonder at these things. The shaking, there's much, much violence in the world today, more than nowhere every day.
Absolutely.
But would it not cause us to tremble at his presence, which have placed the sand for the bounty of the sea by a perpetual degree, and it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, and yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? Do you ever go down to Galveston and look? and the water's going uphill way out. Yeah. Isn't it marvelous thing?
As it washes it all up the shore all the way.
Yeah. It just comes at certain places. High tide and low tide and all that. Man figured all that out by the grace of God.
Right, amen.
And yet, though, he thinks it's just an accident. But this people could be this people. Speaking of us, hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. As if they just never happened. Whatever they think doesn't matter one bit. But beside what God thinks. They can offer all kinds of reason, but it doesn't weigh anything with our God. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. Will you not fear me? No, they say, no, we don't. That giveth rain, both to the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. That's going to come at a certain time every year. Sets the seasons. Do we ever, not ever wonder, well, how in the world did this be? That we have winter and summer and spring and fall and all those things. And the harvest is all at springtime and harvest. It's going to be that way till the end. Now, man can't even mess it up. Let me tell you.
Climate change,
right. They can get all in an uproar and do all they want to. And it's going to be absolutely the same. He said, neither say there in their heart, let us now fear the Lord God that giveth rain both the former and the latter in this season, and reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. We got a little storm coming. Gonna take it.
Yeah.
Always storm. Another. Why is that? Because of our iniquities. God is not going to let man be satisfied. The bed's always going to be too short.
Yeah.
And this keeps our just a little more support. Among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set his snares. They set a trap and they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Come along this morning again, and I see all these high-dollar cars. I'm looking at them, cost hundreds of thousands. And I'm thinking, boy, y'all, you think you're living.
Yeah, right.
You think you're living. But these things are going to catch you. I also think about this snare, and I go back to the way people use John 3:16. And they promise people hope in their self. You do this. We'll tell you how. And if you've got any doubts, call us and we'll go over it with you. And they're on the TV advertising this iniquity. Pure iniquity. Will you not fear me? No, they don't. They lay wait, and they catch them, they are waxing fat, they're shining. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And the answer to that is, it will. And the next storm comes, whatever storm it might be. We got thing going on now, we got to all be vaccinated, and that maybe that's well and good. But there isn't any vaccination for all this kidding.
Right.
And are we gonna do away with the automobile? It's the worst killer it ever was, I believe. I don't know the statistics on it. But it's one more storm, and one more storm, and one more storm, and always we're all in this together, and we're going to get over it.
Yeah.
Do they never fear God?
No.
In it. No fear. They print it on the back of their window shields on the car, put it on there, no fear. They advertise. And tell people you don't need to fear the Lord. He's so good, he can't do anything to you. He so loves you. What iniquity. And it never causes them to judge themselves. But that's what he told Isaiah to go tell them. Listen, you blind. And this is the reason. This what you must reason that you ought to fear the Lord and turn to Him. In the book of Proverbs, first chapter, going to be hard to find. And I guess verse 24. Because I have called and you refuse. Isn't the call always there?
Yeah.
Lord's not begging now. Don't misunderstand this. He's not begging like they present it today.
Right.
But this is going to shut the mouths of all of them. The Lord did call. Yeah. And you did not hear. You did not move. I called and you refused. They say it's possible that they can. They preach that part of it right. Well, you can just refuse. And I believe God does give them the gift to do that. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Now, you can underscore that no man, too. Unless the light come to him, he's not going to regard it. It's past him. But ye have set at naught all of my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. It is coming. They put that no fear up and try to believe.
Yeah.
And it's as hard to believe that as it is to just believe unto salvation. There is a believing unto salvation, all right, but it's not the way they would tell it.
Amen.
You just do this. I laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. This is getting a little harder all the time, isn't it? A little more severe. There is a time when God will turn from the people, turn from Israel to the Gentiles. That's proof enough, right there. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge. Oh, they think you, they got plenty of it now. They loaded with it. And we're told that's the way it's going to be in the last day. Going to have plenty of knowledge, but just wrong kind. Come from the wrong place. Different preacher. And it wasn't sin. And they're preaching it from pulpit every day. All over this land. And all over the world. We got more missionaries now than they ever had before. We've taken them, just young people, and training them up and saying, go over there and tell them something. But they don't know what to tell them. And they're not sin. Except by the First Baptist Church. Not the first God. Go tell them that. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's a whole different precept there. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, they have earned it, and be filled with their own devices, and they're coming up with more and more every day. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, there's going to be a tent. Yeah. It's still going to be a tent. But it's the Lord's doing.
Right.
Not man's, it's not the preacher, and it's not the people. Unless the Lord had left us a city, we had all been condemned to hell. It's that simple. Back in the book of Isaiah, in the 6th chapter, he finished his chapter up like this, but yet it shall be a tent, and it shall return. This is not waiting to see who is going to come. It's not waiting to see who will make a decision. It's going to be God's people, the called out. It shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. What is the holy seed? That's ones that have been born of the faith. And that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It must be His word. Can't be all this other focus stuff that's going on. It must be. Will you not fear me? When we look about us, we don't have any problem understanding. Man does. His old conscience even bears him witness that there's a God. And everything about him bears witness that there is a God. So the main question is, will he not fear me?
I said it over and over again in our day. The churches have decided, well, first of all, that they've seen that nobody's getting saved. So they devised their own way. They're going to get them saved anyway. If God's not going to save them, who's going to save them? And they talk about that, don't they?
Yeah.
Did you get saved?
Mm-hmm.
And so forth and so on. And it just, goes on and on and on. So they devise their own ways of doing things. Doesn't matter whether God sends them or not, again, they're going to go anyway. Because they cannot believe that God just might be through saving, except for the 10. And that's only, again, a figure of speech.
Right.
Isaiah puts it a different way in chapter 17. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it.
Yeah.
As the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches.
That's the gleaning.
That's the gleaning. And it's amazing. Speaking about that storm after storm, I was amazed. I saw John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite political people. He has a tendency to say it like it is. But I saw him on the other day, and he was... it astounded me. I didn't realize it, but he was going over how many storms, one right after the other,
Amen.
Has hit Louisiana. And I didn't count them, but I think there was about 10 or 12 of them. I mean, that just this one right after the other, a few months apart. Some of them not even a month apart. They've had another storm over the place. I'm like, I'm surprised that any of them still exist over there. But it is amazing. And if it were not for the mercy of God, there wouldn't be any of us here. It's a hard thing. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing that terror, it's a hard thing. And yet God is righteous and He is just. What have we to boast? Except in the election. And there again, most of the so-called Christian religion just absolutely rejects the doctrine of election.
Only when it applies to Christians, they don't when it's applied to the Jewish nation.
Well, that's true. That's true. And they like to lump those two together. That Judeo-Christian.
Judeo-Christian,
And they think a whole slew friends of Israel, that's going to save them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. But I do know this, that if God doesn't sin, J.D., you better stay put. Moses had that very same attitude, did he not?
Yeah.
If thou go not before us, lead us not into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The old timers.
Yes,
they have that saying.
He's going to go to the land of promise, too.
Yeah. The old timers used to say, don't run before you sin. But God's bound to send us. I mean, we've got to get out there and get the world saved. And the more that they preach, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
That sixth chapter of Isaiah is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And I think most of us, or all of us here today, have heard all that preached about being sent as a gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
Not much gospel in that, except that, again, as it pertains to the sovereignty of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes and says, tell them, seeing you shall not see, and hearing you shall not hear, that doesn't sound like a good news to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to that first chapter of Proverbs, and you talk about something that ought to make you tremble.
Absolutely.
That ought to. But who does? Who trembles at it? J.T., who fears God?
Mm-hmm.
They're being taught today not to fear God.
Right.
Do not fear God. You have no reason to fear God.
Yeah, he's just a good old buddy.
He loves you, and again, it's no wonder that every funeral you go to, every time somebody dies, they're right in heaven. God loved them so much. So either that or they loved God so much,
mm-hmm,
that he couldn't refuse them. Has nothing in their mind whatsoever to do with sin and mercy and grace. Nothing.